next on the 5 o'clock report.
Trees falling down all morning.
It's either us winning the war or Hamas winning the war.
An impalement of drywall.
The teachers said, go under the table.
Snowstorm with their high beams on.
A warrant out for my arrest.
The people to maintain their freedom.
Miscalculated the sun by a little bit.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Family Life News anchor Sarah Harnish. Storm cleanup is underway in New York and Pennsylvania. Those wind gusts on Wednesday in both states clocked at over 50 miles an hour. That's tropical storm force winds. The wind brought down a large tree on the roof of the Pocono Wildlife Center.
I've been hearing trees falling down all morning when I was out here and then was just standing right here and heard the snap.
A rock slide in the Poconos closed parts of Route 611. The power outages are significant. Our own Greg Gillespie has the latest numbers this afternoon from more than a dozen utilities companies.
Problems more widespread in New York, where 51,000 customers are without power. Oneida, Otsego, and Seneca counties are at the top of the upstate outage list. Electricity is out for 19,000 Pennsylvanians. Susquehanna, Lackawanna, and Wayne counties, the hardest hit in the northeast corner of the state.
With those winds and the temperature drop, it'll feel like the dead of winter through Saturday. President Biden picked up the phone and spoke directly with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this afternoon. He said he wants a ceasefire now. Secretary of State Antony Blinken summed up the call.
He made clear the need for Israel to announce a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers.
Israel responded,
"We will not stop. We will do whatever is necessary to minimize civilian casualties, but at the end of the day, it's either us winning the war or Hamas winning the war."
20 tornadoes touched down in half a dozen states last night. That's what the National Weather Service said today. This guy's an insurance adjuster. He went to a site this afternoon in Kentucky and found it impaled, drywall weaponized by the wind.
30 years in storm surveying, I've never seen this, an impalement of drywall into the stucco.
Winds in Kentucky clocked at 110 miles an hour. At least 100 people are unaccounted for in Taiwan this afternoon after their 7.4 magnitude earthquake this week.
They're trying to reach those people, get them food, water, medical attention if they need them, and then slowly get them back to safety.
The nation's still experiencing aftershocks. 1,000 people are injured and 9 dead. 8-year-old Claire Geiger was in school when the walls started to shake. Her father is an American working in Taiwan.
The teacher said, go under the table, go under the table.
I was really happy that she was, like she said, being calm and not freaking out, right?
Important not to freak out, right, Claire?
Yeah.
Now to the border crisis and option 2. Don't crawl under a fence in Texas to cross the border. Just have Joe Biden buy you a plane ticket. A nonprofit group says the Biden administration is flying illegal immigrants directly from their countries right into Florida. 326,000 and immigrants since October. Todd Bensman is the Senior National Security Fellow for the Center for Immigration Studies.
You can just stay home or in your third country somewhere, apply for it, and fly in directly.
He says many of them have ties to the United States, and the transition is easier than crossing the border in Texas.
These are mostly Haitians, Cubans, Venezuelans, and Nicaraguans, and the first three nationalities already have, as you know, large expatriate communities in Florida, so family connections and job connections and friends and things like that.
Governor Ron DeSantis is vowing to stop the flights. No go for Donald Trump. Again, a federal judge is denying Trump's request to dismiss his classified documents case. Lisa Taylor has more.
The former president claimed the case should be tossed because his possession of classified records was protected by the Presidential Records Act. The judge, in her decision, wrote the charges Trump was seeking to have dismissed don't rely on the statute. Special Counsel Jack Smith charged Trump in a 40-count indictment that includes alleged violations of the Espionage Act, which makes it illegal to mishandle national defense information. I'm Lisa Taylor.
President Biden will travel to Baltimore on Friday to visit the site of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. The White House says he'll meet with state and local officials and get a first hand at the efforts to clear the wreckage and reopen the Port of Baltimore. Colonel S.D. Pinchot Chasen with the Army Corps of Engineers says there's almost zero visibility under the water.
Divers are working basically in darkness because if they used lights, if we lit it up, it would be like they were driving through a snowstorm with their high beams on.
Buried in that rubble, the bodies of six construction workers. The president will meet with their families on Friday, too. A cargo ship smashed into that bridge last week. And you better take those library books back. A homeschool mom from Texas received an arrest warrant this week after she failed to return an overdue book from the library. Kaylee Morgan found out about it when she went to renew her driver's license.
And when I get there, they tell me that they cannot renew my driver's license because I have a warrant out for my arrest.
She had to pay a $570 fine. She says she didn't return the book when it was due to complications with her pregnancy. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, a later school day in Pennsylvania, ghost gun ban, and just how windy was it last night? More of that after weather with Kevin Williams.
Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We will still be dealing with cold, moist air, rain, and snow tonight. Little to no accumulation for most, a slushy coating, but there could be a couple, 3 inches of a dense, wet snow accumulating over some higher elevations, especially in central New York. Low temps, upper 20s to the mid-30s tomorrow, and for that matter, Saturday, cloudy with a few mixed showers, highs in the 30s and low 40s, a brighter, milder day than on Sunday.
Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories, making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. It is all quiet on the western front today in New York and PA as storm cleanup continues. The Poconos among the hardest hit, as well as central New York. This reporter was trying to stand up in Boston as that same storm pummeled them with wind and rain and snow.
Tell you what, it's just a mess here. High winds are causing wind-swift rains, and we're getting gusts up to 50 miles an hour.
Upstate New York clocked gusts at 53 miles an hour. Down trees, power outages, the story this afternoon, as well as a temperature plummet. It'll feel more like January with the wind. The Pennsylvania House has passed a bill to ban ghost guns. Those are 3D weapons printed and assembled at home.
Basically, anyone can put it together.
Unlike traditional firearms made from licensed companies, they can be assembled without a background check or a license. Legislation would change that.
House Bill 777 is blatantly unconstitutional.
It passed mostly along party lines. They would ban the purchase, sale, and production of untraceable gun parts. Lawmakers say it does not make them illegal.
All we are saying is that you have to follow the same existing laws as every other gun purchase. Get a background check and have it serialized.
Gun control advocates say they're becoming the weapon of choice for violent criminals.
This is a step towards closing that gap in our system.
But the Pennsylvania Firearms Association says this isn't going to touch crime.
When you have government trying to regulate the ability for the people to maintain their freedom, that becomes a problem.
They say a fraction of criminal activity is linked to ghost guns. Most are legal weapons that were stolen. They call this an overreach.
They're only passing a law that affects the good people, not the bad people. We don't think that forcing homemade firearms parts manufacturers to serialize their parts is going to have any real effect on those violent criminals.
The bill now goes to the state Senate. Governor Shapiro says if it clears both houses, he will sign it. The New York State Senate just passed a bill to legalize adultery in the Empire State. Family Life's Jeremy Miller has the story.
Yeah, the state Senate voted to remove it from the penal code. Under the current state law, the crime can result in a $500 fine or 3 months in jail, but that law is rarely enforced. Governor Hochul's office said she will review the legislation. Republicans criticized Democrats for passing the measure and not focusing on public safety and finalizing a multi-billion-dollar spending package. Lawmakers must pass another budget extender today so some state workers can get paid, and another must be passed by Monday. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
A Senate panel in Harrisburg is holding a hearing this afternoon on whether or not to delay the start of the school day. There's a bill in the Pennsylvania State Senate that bans districts from starting school any earlier than 8:15 a.m. The Family Research Council just wrapped up a six-year study on violence against American churches. There have been over 9,000 incidents. Half of them happened in 2023. Ariel Del Turco talks about it on today's Faith Under Fire. Let's listen in.
So that includes vandalism, bomb threats, arson, gun-related incidents, and really any type of crime that takes place on church property. In 2023, we identified 436 acts of hostility against churches, and that was more than double the previous year.
If the rate of violence has doubled in the last year, that really is something that people need to be attentive to. What's been the reaction to your research?
I think people are very surprised to see this. We don't see it covered in the news media a whole lot, and I think that's partly because it doesn't fit some of the mainstream media's narratives that they want to push out. They might want to focus on other minorities, other religious groups, other non-religious groups, and they just really overlook some of the rising hostility that's taking place against Christianity.
So these incidents that you are counting are the ones that are acts of violence, law enforcement gets involved. Are there trends that we can picture and connect those dots?
Yeah, it's hard to totally quantify what's happening in the hearts of men in these situations. However, we do notice certain trends. Politically, that there seems to be some political motivation, especially around the issue of abortion. Nasty threats written on the front of church buildings, talking about the church's pro-life stance. But I think on a larger scale, it's just a collapse of societal respect for churches that is enabling this rise in vandalism against churches. And I think it goes to show where our culture is. We're living in an increasingly secular society that doesn't understand religion and doesn't, therefore, respect religion.
You can hear more of Greg's interview with Arielle Del Turco and her testimony in front of Congress about the assault on American churches at familylife.org/news podcasts. Time next for tonight's market report brought to you by Faithward Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
Stocks ending sharply lower today, that following negative sentiment from the Federal Reserve. Multiple members in a hawkish tone saying that more progress on inflation needs to occur before interest rates can drop, and they kept the door open to the possibility of not cutting rates at all in 2024. Tomorrow, markets will be looking at key employment data. Crude oil trading higher by $1 a barrel to nearly $86.50. The Dow today down 530 points. The Nasdaq dropped 228, and it was a loss of 64 for the S&P 500. Faithward Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more, online at faithwardadvisors.com.
Surveys consistently show that a surprising number of people aren't saving enough for retirement. Hi, I'm Rob West with today's Faith and Finance Minute. Sometimes that's due to misconceptions about what's needed to reach their savings goals. The first misconception involves the size of the nest egg. You need to have 10 to 12 times your last working year of income by the time you retire. But nearly half of those surveyed thought only 5 times would be enough. People were also confused about how much you can safely withdraw each year in retirement. 4% is correct, but many respondents said 10 to 15%. Those misconceptions will be enough to significantly delay retirement. There's no time like now to do some serious retirement planning and start saving as much as you can while you can. Connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who's been trained to deliver financial advice that aligns with your Christian values by visiting our website, faithfi.com.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, mistake on the maps. You may not be in a city of totality after all for the solar eclipse on Monday. More on that story after weather with Kevin Williams.
For tonight, it's cloudy with periods of snow, some mixed rain this evening. Snow accumulations where they occur will be slight, less than an inch. But there could be a couple, 3 inches of snow accumulating over some higher elevations, especially in central New York. Low temps, upper 20s to the mid-30s. Friday cloudy with some snow showers and rain showers. High temperatures, 30s and low 40s. Saturday, rather cloudy, chance of a shower and a high in the 40s. The system's slow departure, though, should afford us timing to clear the skies for a nicer day Sunday, with hopefully reasonably good skies for the eclipse on Monday.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at 5, oops, a new map for the path of totality for next Monday's eclipse shows that that path of totality may be narrower than previously thought. Meteorologist John DePasquale.
Scientists miscalculated the size of the sun by a little bit, and that little bit of a miscalculation has caused the path of totality to narrow a bit. Very subtle, but a little bit, shifting the southern edge to the north by, yes, 0.4 mile.
For folks in the southern part of New York's Finger Lakes region, they may have to move a bit further north for optimum viewing. In the Syracuse area, communities now out of the path of totality include Marietta, Owosco, Dresden, the southern half of Penn Yan, and a large portion of the city of Rome. DePasquale says there's a big difference between totality and near totality.
The difference is huge. 99% of coverage of the sun. It's still going to be kind of daylight and just a diminishing of the colors, but still light. Whereas totality is going to be almost completely dark with some twilight around the horizons.
The next solar eclipse isn't until 2044. And that's the world that we live in for Thursday, the 4th of April. I'm Sarah Harnish, and this is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.